Father, God, please help me decrease this morning and you increase. Lord, I'm confident with all my heart that you want me to share what you want me to share this morning. But Lord, I'm not that comfortable with it. So Lord, I'm just asking. Lord, it's so much better if we show up here on Sunday morning and it seems as though you've spoken directly to us, Lord God. And I know that you can do that and you can use anybody, Lord, for that purpose. And God, I'm the guy that's sharing this morning and I'm telling you, and I know I've got the agreement of my brothers and sisters. Please, would you speak, Lord God? I know they love their pastor and I love them as well. But God, we need more than just a love for each other, God. We need you to speak this morning. Please speak, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The last series was six series long. It was six messages long, and it was based on most of it. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles, okay? They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And I couldn't get away from that verse, particularly the waiting part. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to talk about the waiting, okay? It's not in my notes, but boy, Tom Petty really nailed it, you know? The waiting is the hardest part. It really is. It really is. And the waiting is something that, boy, we got to get down. The waiting is what we're going to have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for. Now, I'm going to show you another scripture, and some people may think, well, that's kind of obscure. It's quoted out of context, but let's take a look at it anyway. This vision for a future time, it describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Okay? Now, critics that would say that's quoted out of context, and it is somewhat, but it is reflective of the character of God. It is reflective of our proper response to how God does things. Okay? He tells us to wait. We hate waiting. We have never liked waiting. Okay? Wait for Christmas. Did you count the days? 39 days. 28 days. Okay? For summer vacation, 24 more days, you know? I still do it. I'm 59 in my journal. I go right down to the hours, 48 hours until I go to Florida. You know, we hate waiting. We hate it. We hate waiting. He tells us to do something we don't like, okay? And I can't remember who it was. There's some king, it might have been Louis the 14th or 15th or 16th, I can't remember. He wouldn't allow the word patience to be used in his presence. Okay? You could go in prison if you mentioned patience. That's how much he hated waiting. Okay? But everybody hates waiting. You open up the Bible, oh Lord, give me some truth. Wait, I don't want to hear that! Come on! And when you really think about waiting, it's not fun. It's dark. Okay? We don't like waiting. Okay? His word is relevant to all generations, to all cultures, to all situations. Have you noticed one of the glaring differences between Islam and Christianity? Islam insists that you learn Arabic and the Quran is not supposed to be translated into English. No, they've gone and done it, but that's not because their leaders want them to. You know? I mean, it is really a spreading of Arab culture. God's word's not like that. It is relevant to 9th century China. It is relevant to 17th century France. It is just as relevant in modern day Tokyo as it is in an obscure village on the outskirts of Reykjavik, Iceland. Okay? It is amazingly adaptable to cultures. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Because sin is universal. Because the Creator has created every one of us with a yearning to connect with Him. And that's what His Word is. So when it tells us something, please don't pass it by saying, well, that's just religious stuff. I'll give you one of the scriptures that talks about it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, excuse me, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Waiting. tells us to wait. If you wait, you're going to renew your strength. If you wait, you're going to get a perspective on things that you never had before. You know, well, I tried waiting. Well, I would suggest if that's your issue, that you've tried waiting and the devil's got you thinking that it doesn't work, I would suggest that you didn't wait long enough. I know you didn't want to hear that, did you? Oh, counselor, you're not my friend anymore. No? We can't stand that. Now, let's bring it home to where we are in following the Lord, okay? What promise of God, think about your relationship with God, what promise of God have you abandoned? What promise of God have you abandoned? What promise of God have you turned your back on? What promise of God have you given up on? Because it's been so long since you thought about it, prayed about it, believed it could ever happen. Okay? You don't have to tell me. Just think with it. Think about it. Stay with me. That promise from God, it used to burn in you. It used to ignite you. It used to motivate you. You've even given into, well, I guess that wasn't of God. Okay? I guess that dream I had, it's just, you know, maybe that was just youthful enthusiasm, or maybe I got just a little overexcited. Joseph's dream from God, okay, gets two dreams. Then he gets sold into slavery. Then he gets sent to prison unjustly. Probably 5 to 10 years, maybe even 15 years, 5 to 15 years before God fulfilled that dream in his life in exquisite detail. And he would have had every reason to say, God, you must be crazy, or I'm crazy, in the midst of the waiting. Okay? Dark, dark things he went through in that waiting period. David was anointed to be king as a kid. My goodness. He's threatened with death from the very guy that brought him into his court. And he was banished from the kingdom. And the best armies in the kingdom are out looking for him, and they're under orders to shoot to kill, or throw to kill, or pull the bow to kill, okay? And nobody's going to say sorry, and nobody's going to defend his case. Here's a guy who was given a promise from God, and he would have had every reason to say, well, I guess Samuel was drunk that day when he anointed me as king and sought me out. Probably 10 to 25 years of lots of up and downs. I mean, the guy kills Goliath. Oh, hey, here I am, David, son of Jesse, superstar. You know, had everybody's attention. And it was not turning out the way he thought it was going to turn out. 10 to 25 years before the ultimate fulfillment. Moses specifically called to lead Israel. And he goes over 40 years until there's any evidence whatsoever that that was God, that that was true. And then when the time does come, it's another 40 years until it finds its real fulfillment. 80 years of waiting. 80 years. And if you look at study in Moses and all these guys were, they were real guys. They had doubts. They really messed up. They had, some of them had really bad attitudes. John 12 and 24. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me? What do you think Jesus meant when he said, if you want to save your life, okay, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, not talking physical death here, he's talking spiritual death. He wasn't trying to birth a, you know, a suicidal, like, sect of Christianity here. It's all in the waiting. When you're waiting and when you accept the Lord's word to wait, part of you's dying. And you don't know how much alive you are, and you don't know how strong you are until Jesus says, wait. And John 15 says, you've heard me use the verse before, whoever bears fruit, he prunes so that they will bear more fruit. Okay? He does that. And that nothing will hurt. Nothing will test. Nothing will I don't like to say it, but it's true. Nothing will perfect you. Nothing will make you more Christ-like than if you can learn how to wait. Okay? You've heard me say, you ever talk to somebody who gets their prayers answered all the time? Okay? Usually, you know, the ones that have really learned Christ-likeness, the ones that have really stepped into what God's purpose is for them, conforming to the likeness of Christ, okay? Those are the ones that have waited. Waited. Maybe he wants us to wait until we finally learn it's not your life, it's his. Okay? Oh, I gave my life to Christ. Oh, did you? Well, then why do you keep trying to pull it back? Why do you keep trying to want your way instead of his way? People, see, the devil does a good job lying to people. He gives lies to people and has them believing that God's a cosmic killjoy, wants to take away all your fun. Nothing can be further than the truth. Until you surrender to Jesus and he has your way, you don't know what fun is. You don't. In fact, for you to have fun, you've got to spend a lot of money. You've got to do a lot of damage to your body. You've got to meet a lot of people that you find out in the end, oh, man, why have I ever connected to this person? Okay? When he brings fun, there's no strings attached. When he brings fun, you kind of look at your spouse when you're in your 80s and go, wow, we done all right, didn't we? You know? And it's real. And it's powerful. Okay? But he's a wonderful liar. And he sucks people into destroying their lives because, man, if we can ever learn how to wait. You know what? If we got filled with the real Holy Spirit of God, and the only thing he gave us, the only gift he ever gave us was the gift of waiting, you'd do okay. You would do fine. Because I'm telling you, a lot of gifts that he wants to give and a lot of empowering, that's not going to take place until the waiting thing is learned. Well, that's kind of tough, John. Yeah, here's the problem. When you got born again, you stepped into royalty, okay? You now follow the king. You're not just following somebody that, you know, good, like he's got like royal plans for us. And if you look of any real royalty where they, you know, there's integrity and they train their kids with integrity, they go through the ringer. But that's why he's promised us his Holy Spirit. We were called to greatness. We're called to great. We're called to joy and peace and all that other stuff. But more than that, we're called to greatness. And he says, wait. Wait is all through the Word of God. Did that dream in your life die? Was it really from God? If you know what it is right now, I would suggest it's still alive. I would. Nah, I can't go there. Too painful. Believing that God is really who he is. You're never going to lose doing that, okay? Believing that God is faithful to his promises. You can't lose. He's faithful. He's loving. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's kind. And here's something that you don't read in the Bible, but it's so true. He's incredibly thoughtful. Did you ever get something for Christmas that you'd like never dreamed it was going to happen? Okay? In fact, you wouldn't even be so cocky and selfish to even ask for it. And it shows up under the tree. And you are so blown away, you can hardly contain yourself. In fact, you feel almost a little embarrassed that somebody went to that kind of trouble to get you something like that. Okay? Multiply that 20 times. That's how much our Father delights in bringing his power and his glory and his purpose into our life. And you know, none of us want to admit it, but one of the reasons why that gift was so amazing, you had to wait for it. You know? Mom and Dad didn't want to spoil it, or whoever got you that gift. He throws our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. But what about his plans and his promises to us? There's hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. You could spend all day just going through the promises of God, okay? Well, that's for everybody. I don't know about you. I know Jesus died for the sins of the world, but it didn't mean anything to me until I realized it was for me. It was for me. And those promises, yeah, they're for everybody, but they're for you, specifically. Well, that's everybody else. Yeah, the devil is a good liar. He will make you believe that. Still a lie. Still a lie. What about the promises of God? Let's pick one. Let's pick a popular one. You guys probably know this one, okay? It's right up there. This is on a lot of plaques. I find scriptures that end up on a lot of plaques, people get so used to them, they don't even believe them anymore. Because they're around so often. They get familiar with them. You know this one, Jeremiah 29:11. I put a tilt on it so you'd kind of like, you know, it would get your attention. Because every other scripture, straight. No, I want to tilt this one. Remember the old Batman show, you know, where all the cameras tilt with all the time? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. They that wait upon the Lord. That's true. That's for me. I claim that as my own. But I can't just take an isolated promise, you know, without, I can't just do that and ignore the rest of the promises and the rest of what the Word of God says, okay? Can you see it? Okay. This is Psalms 46:10. I have read this scripture 20, 30 times. This is a well-known scripture, isn't it? Put your hands up if you heard this one before, okay? Okay, now this is weird. I was in the Word this week. I can't tell you how many, because I journal, I kind of record, I can't tell you how many times this scripture has snuck up on me. Okay? God will not let me memorize this scripture. I was going to read for Psalm 46. I distinctly remember this week. Okay, I'm going to go into Psalm, maybe God's got something, 46:10. Psalm 46, the whole chapter. Wasn't thinking at all. There it is again! It sneaks up on me. You know, when I least expect it. And I opened up Psalm 46, and again, I've preached this, I've lived it, I believe it, I know where it is, but I start Psalm 46, and I totally forgot verse 10. Then I'm going to it, it's good, you know, be still and know thy God. And there's been at least, maybe a half a dozen, 12 times, something like that, dozen times in the last 30, 40 years, where during prayer time, I'll come across this verse, and I think I got an agenda for the day. And I think I'm going to go through my Bible time, or I'm going to go through my list of work, and I get to this, and he paralyzes me. Be still and know that I'm God. I can't get past it. I usually blow, I don't know, waste valuable time, I don't know, you be the judge, okay? Half hour, an hour, I can't go further than this. I gotta shut up and I gotta wait. Wait for what? Doesn't matter, he told me to wait. Be still and know that I am God. I don't want to hear that. I want it now. So do you. But that's not how he does it. He doesn't do it like that. Okay? I'm going to give you a formula. Now, you've heard me say, if you've been listening to me for a while, formulas are for babies. Okay? Well, except you become like a little child and never going to see the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you a formula here. I never do formula, but this is probably the first time I've ever given you a formula. Okay? And it works. And this is the formula you need to get everything you need to know about walking in the power and the promise of God. Okay? I'm going to give you a formula that will let you know everything you need to know about walking in the power and the promise of God. Here comes the formula. First, you take Isaiah 55:8-9. That's the one that says, his thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your thoughts his, but his thoughts are higher and pure. Kind of him saying, I'm God, you're not. Don't get discouraged. I love you. Okay, and it also tells us further on that he wants to take us to that place where he is, okay? But he wants to remind you, I don't do things your way, okay? I don't mean to hurt anybody, because this one has done wonders for me. You ever heard this line? It's not about you, okay? He died for you. His promise is for you. He has a wonderful plan for your life, but it's not just about you. Well, then what are you talking about? It's about him. And if you can ever get focused on how much he loves you and how much you mean to him, you're not going to be thinking about yourself that much. Okay? John counsels the biggest pain in the neck to me of anybody. Could Jesus save me from my sin? How many times have I told you? He saved me from John counsel. Okay? So that's the first part of the formula. Okay? Isaiah 55:8. You may want to write this down and plus, okay, it's a formula. Proverbs 14:12. Okay? So we got, he's not like us. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to you, but it's gonna kill you. Makes so much sense! Oh my goodness, how could it not be of God? Because the devil's a wonderful liar. Okay? All his lies are believable. Okay? But the word says there's a way that seems right. Doesn't mean all your ways are wrong. Okay? But there's ways that we think we've got it together. And I'm telling you, if you're not influenced by God and his word, it will kill you. That's the devil's plan for your life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. The devil has a horrible plan for your life. And he's smart enough to hide it so that you can't see it until it's too late. Okay? That's why we need to be walking in the Word. That's why we get together all the time and listen to music and some boring pastor, okay? But we phone each other, we encourage each other, because we know this is truth. We need help with it, okay? So there's the formula, Isaiah 55:8-9 plus Proverbs 14:12. There's kind of like the negative side. Times, in other words, multiply. Multiply this thought compared to the other two, okay? Don't lean on your own understanding, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will make your path straight. Okay? Don't lean on your own understanding. Be influenced by what you know of the Bible. Okay? Be influenced of what you know God has taught you. What is righteous, eternal, true. Okay? Now, a lot of it is waiting. That's not going to change the fact that it's still the better way. Okay? Isaiah 55:8-9 plus Proverbs 14:12 times Proverbs 3:5-6. Equals everything I need to know about walking in the power and the promise of God. So wait. Actually, right now you should be saying, so what? Where does that leave me? Wait. Wait. How do you do that? Well, you're going to need wisdom and skill. We're going to encourage each other. How do you wait? There's nothing wrong with having fun while you're waiting. There's nothing wrong with making the best of the situation when you're waiting. There's nothing wrong with trusting God and believing while you're waiting. If you're in a good church, and I hope we're a good church, you can even whine and complain while you're waiting. Okay? We'll help you with that too. My best friends, they hear me whining all the time. And they still love me. Must be a good church. Hey, really good. Okay? We wait. You have two choices while God has His way. Okay? You have two choices, and He's going to have His way, okay? He is going to have His way. You are not going to nullify God from having His way, because it's not about you. And if it's not about you, it's not about me, it's going to behoove me if I get into His plan. If I fall into what He desires, life is going to be way smoother. It'll be a lot of waiting, okay? But it's going to be a lot easier if I can get into what His way is instead of mine. Because remember the formula! Okay, my way is going to lead to death, and I shouldn't be leaning on my own understanding unless my understanding is lining up with what I know is in the Word. And if my understanding is lining up with what's in the Word, that means my mind's being renewed. That means it's being transformed. That means I'm even going to be able to tell what God's will is if that's going on. Okay? So, there are two choices while God has His way. Your first choice is you can grow in faith. I hope nobody's thinking I'm trying to, paint a crow pink and dip it in Chanel number 5 and make you think everything's going to be okay. Waiting is tough. Waiting is hard. Waiting is something that you should be praying about. God, show me how to wait. Show me how to wait like I should. Show me how to wait in the joy of the Lord. Show me how to wait and have your peace and your presence there. Those are all valid prayers. Those are good prayers. Man, if you can get God to help you with the waiting, my goodness, that's fantastic. That's a good way to pray. The devil doesn't want you praying like that. So you got two choices as He says His way. You can grow in faith, or you can wilt away in doubt and disappointment. There's all kinds of people that say they follow Christ, that's where they're at. Okay? Just touch a raw nerve in their life. Just touch on some disappointment or some bitterness. You'll see it. Okay? They didn't learn that waiting thing. Let me give you another example. A good one is Abraham. Okay? When he's a young man, probably in his 40s and 50s. You are going to be the father of many nations. Look up at the sky, Abraham. You're not going to be able to count your descendants. Well, he's 90 years old. Ain't happened yet. If I was him, I probably would have taken action long before then. Okay? Guy didn't wait. Be still and know that I'm God. There it is. Stuck in it again. Did you see that? There it is. Keeps coming back. He's got this promise. And he was a rascal. Oh man, this guy, I would not want to have been Abraham's friend. I don't think I'd be able to trust the guy. Lies about his wife, says it's my sister. Give me a break, okay? He was far from perfect. But, look at this word here, okay? Let's go back, I missed it here. Abram believed the Lord and He credited it to him as righteousness. Wow. He believed. didn't have it together as far as his actions, but he believed God's promise is true. And God said, that's as good as righteousness, as far as Abram was concerned. In fact, there's another formula I don't have written down, but just belief is more powerful than perfection. Do you know that? Whoa, there's a line, eh? Belief is more powerful than perfection. We are perfect because of Christ, okay? Yeah, we can have victories and we can learn things so that, you know, we minimize our pain. But he knows our limitations. That's why he died for us. Okay? But he knows every one of us can believe, and that's why he asks us to. I want you to believe. I want you to believe. It's more powerful than being perfect. Abraham, he followed. He obeyed. Took a lot of heat. Screwed up a lot. But he kept pursuing God's promise. He even tried to make things happen on his own. And what happened? He messed things up even worse. Okay? That's it. I'm going to do it my way. There's a way that seems right, then leads to death. God's timing will drive you nuts. Okay? He doesn't have a calendar like you do. Okay? He did not set his clock back this morning. Okay? Doesn't function like that. His timing never fits into our plans. There's an old quote from the Talmud. It says, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. That's cute. You know, and he doesn't laugh because you're dumb. He laughs because his plans are so much better than yours. Oh, come on. Don't limit me like that. I can do so much more than what you're thinking. His plans will frustrate your agenda. His plans will prune you. His plans will reduce you. But his plans are perfect every time. They're perfect. They're perfect. Doubt your doubts. Okay? Now, there's two songs here. I'm not going to lead you. But one you've heard so often, if you have kids, you're sick of it by now. Okay? As far as your timing and as far as your concept of God. Let it go, let it go, just let it go. Okay? And then there's hold on. What do you want me to do? Let it go or hold on? Well, let it go something and hold on to something else. Let go of your timing. Let go of your perceptions of God and hold on to what you know is in the Word of God. Hold on to His promise. He never fails. It's not His biggest song. It was an old Kansas tune. Hold on, baby, hold on. Because you're standing on the brink. I don't know the rest of the song, but, you know, hold on. He never fails. And you know what I'm discovering the older I get? Boy, does he keep good records. He keeps great records. Okay? Stuff that I forgot about and packed it in and thought, that's never going to happen. Oh, you thought I forgot about that, eh, John? Guess what? Here it comes again. It's good stuff. You remembered. I can't believe it. You remembered. It's God. He keeps great records. Great records. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Yeah. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. God, I'm not a spooky guy that, you know, has words of knowledge lots of times and is able to nail things. So God, when I pray to you and we pray together, Lord, that there's people that they've been reacting to this all along. How the heck did he know what I'm going through? Lord, that's in a crowd this large. Lord, there's probably going to be at least 25% of the people are going through something. And that's just life. So God, you got to do now. God, you know how limited I am in my ability to communicate. But your Holy Spirit, God, can take your word today, God, and it can change our lives forever. It can bring back hope that we thought was dead. It can change the course of our direction to avoid disaster, Lord God, please. And I pray, Lord, in agreement with my brothers and sisters that know how important, Lord, following you is, Lord. I pray now that in every heart and mind that's hearing this message, God, even online, God, Lord, that your word would find a powerful resting place to empower us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody looking around. I don't know everybody in the room, okay? I know most of you, but if you don't know Christ as your Lord, you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've got to get that right. You've got to get that right. And you got an invitation to make that right this morning if you want, okay? You put your hand up real quick, put it right back down again, and I'll make sure I get to you before you leave the room. Always leave an opportunity to do that. And some of you are going to start getting opportunities to pray that prayer with people on the job and in the neighborhood, okay? Don't get nervous. Don't get churchy. Don't get religious. Just pray with them. You'll be amazed. Be amazed at how God gives you wisdom to flow in a situation like that. God, we love you. Do your work in our lives. Bless your people, God. I pray you'd burn it into our hearts and our minds, Lord God, how powerful we are in encouraging each other. How everyone in this room, Lord, can make the difference in somebody else's life right here, God, because you live in our lives. And you are desiring, Lord, to be released as we, Lord, are obedient to you and supporting and loving one another, God. We love you, Jesus. Amen.